This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Quick story, Jeremy. You know, I don't ever really drink all of my coffee in the morning when I come, and yeah. I always reheat it. So, Joe, I put it in the microwave, put it on a normal 2 minutes, went to the bathroom where I was harassed by Jeremy by the urinal when he sounded like the ghost from the movie Ghost in the Subway. Get off of my urinal!
Get off of my train!
I told Bob I just peed there. I marked that territory. That's my urinal.
So I came back to the microwave, and it exploded all over everywhere. So thank God for Jess for helping me wipe all that stuff up before Ann comes in.
Yeah. You better get that clean.
Yeah, I got it clean. Thank you, Jess. Brock Purdy was once Mr. Irrelevant. Number one, do you think Brock Purdy is a franchise quarterback?
He's on that cusp. Here's what I think. If he's on my team, I think I got to pay him and keep him. If he's not, I don't know that I need to overpay to go get that guy. You know what I mean? Like, they're projecting him to get a nice chunk of change. And I even heard Vinny talking about him getting the type of money that Jalen Hurts is going to look at, you know, comparatively speaking. And I thought that kind of made sense. The one thing I'll say about Brock Purdy is nobody wants to give him credit and just say he's got the most talented team around him. That was partially true. He's way more athletic than people want to give him credit for. He runs a lot. He creates space to throw down the field. So I'd probably lean more, yes, I'd pay him, but he'd have to be one of the guys. He'd have to be my guy. Does that make sense? Like, I'm not going out in free agency and overspending for him.
Brock Purdy, 67% completion, 69% completion, last year 66. 13 touchdowns in limited games, 31 touchdowns in limited games, last year 20. 4,200 yards, 3,800 yards. Passer rating 107.3, 113, 96.
You know who
his numbers are going in the wrong direction for a guy. To me, franchise quarterbacks elevate people around them.
Fair enough.
I don't think Joe Burrow almost got in the playoffs this year with a defense that wouldn't get into the college football playoffs.
Yeah.
All right? He almost got in the playoffs. Lamar Jackson. We saw him take a team from 4-5 to playoffs his rookie year. You know what I mean? We see Josh Allen. We see those guys are franchise quarterbacks. Those guys are going to play well. Their teams are going to contend.
So in your mind, there's only like 5 to 6, maybe a couple more?
Yes.
Okay.
And all of those cats, those other cats shouldn't be getting $55 million a year.
Yeah, it's always
getting out of control.
Next.
It's getting out of control right now. Brock Purdy is not a $55 million a year quarterback. If he gets it good form, that's not the discussion. The discussion is not whether he's going to get it. He's going to get it.
Yeah.
To me, he ain't worth that. He's not. He's a guy that's as good as what's around him. He's not going to elevate what's around him.
So it's funny because I kind of compare Brock Purdy. You remember when Kirk Cousins was on Washington and he just thrown for a 5,000-yard season? And everybody's like, do you think he's a franchise guy? And my statement there was kind of the same. Like, if I'm Washington, I'm trying to keep him because I think he's good enough to win with.
Kirk Cousins, yeah.
And I think Brock Purdy's the same. I'm not saying they're the same skill set. I'm just saying the same type of guy. You can win with him. I mean, they've gotten there. He's been hurt. He's had a couple significant injuries, too. That's the other thing you have to look at. But, yeah, I agree with you that I don't know that I want to pay him $55 million, but he's definitely going to get it.
Again, that's not the conversation.
No matter what Invoke thinks, he's going to get it.
Never going to get it. Lamar Jackson's average salary is $52 million a year. Now, we can say about other quarterbacks, but we're going to key in on our guy. If Brock Purdy gets $55 million a year, Lamar Jackson should go in and ask for a raise. Instantly. You got this cat $55 million. And we know that it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
But to me, you can't pay Brock Purdy $55 million a year when Lamar Jackson makes 52. Joel, I think that's how the market should be. The market shouldn't be next guy gets the biggest contract. The market should be, wait a minute. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, these guys making that. We ain't paying you more than them.
Well,
how do you go in and get more than them instantly?
Have your contract come up after theirs, and then they use that contract as a benchmark of where you want to be. And then
that's where the system's flawed.
It is. I mean, the position is so overpaid. So much money goes into it, and it just ties up so much of your cap. And that's why you hear the window. People always talk about the window when you get a quarterback on a rookie deal, when they had Lamar on that rookie deal, it's like you want to win during this time because now you can allocate money to all these other parts and make your team better. But once that quarterback's got to get paid, you're like, damn, okay, we're going to pay him. So that means we're going to lose a starting safety, we're going to lose a right guard, and we're going to lose one of our tight ends. You know, like you start looking at those things, and I'm not saying it always happens like that, but when you start paying your quarterback and you're going to put 50-some million, and what teams will do is they'll finagle the salary cap, too, to backload the contract to try to make it easier in the first couple of years. But what's that do when you get to year three or year four? It's like, he's due how much money? Like, you had guys that had almost half the cap, or I mean 40% of the cap, just going to one player.
Lamar Jackson, by the way, his cap hit next year is $43,650,000.
Which, when you said it's an average, if you're talking about an average of $52 million, that means it's backloaded as well. That's why we talk about a restructure is going to have to happen at some point.
410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. San Francisco 49ers will rule the day they pay this kid $55 million a year. They'll rule the day.
Yeah.
He's not that cat. He's not that. I'm not asking the question, is he a good quarterback? He's a good quarterback. There are a lot of good quarterbacks. He's not a franchise quarterback.
Agreed. I mean, amongst the terms, if you're looking at it from your standpoint, because when I said franchise quarterback, I think about guys that you want to pay that you're going to win, that you can win with.
Right.
Because I think there are a bunch of those guys. Like, I don't think Trevor Lawrence is a franchise guy the way I did when he first came in the league. He's got to really showcase something. I've watched enough from Jaden Daniels and CJ Stroud to go, I like both of those guys. And by the way, Bryce Young showed enough now where it's like, I want to see what he has. But again, you got to build up to
him.
It.
Yeah. It's obvious the problem with Carolina was not him.
Yep. So
you didn't develop that kid. You didn't put the pieces around him. And when you had the loaded gun to your head and you had to do it, you did it. He got it done.
Mm-hmm.
You put some pieces around Bryce Young. I think Bryce Young's a quarterback. And is he that franchise guy? I don't know. But again, you're talking about guys you can win with. You put the right pieces around him. He's that guy.
Like Herbert, you'd consider him a franchise guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Herbert elevates you.
Yeah. All right.
You know, it's not a lot of those cats in the league, man. If you go around the league, Buffalo has one. I don't think Miami has one.
Nope.
It remains to be seen whether the Patriots have one. I mean, the Ravens have one. The Bengals have one.
The Chiefs.
The Texans have one. The Chiefs have one.
Washington.
Chargers have one. Yeah. Washington has one.
You putting Jalen Hurts in there?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know if Jalen Hurts elevates you.
I mean, I think it's fair. Like, if you're using your criteria for franchise, I think you're absolutely right. Like, I think there are some people. It's the same thing when it's subjective when you call somebody elite. You know, that whole thing with Joe Flacco. It's like, is he elite? I mean, I don't know. But, damn, he's got 11 touchdowns and 0 picks and a playoff run and a Super Bowl to go along with it.
He played elite.
Yeah. So, I mean, call it what you want to call it. But I think it's, I mean, I hate saying beauty's in the eye of the beholder, but depending on how you look at it, according to your standards for franchise, you're right. There's probably 7-8 guys in the league that you'd put in that category.
Steve Molesky joins us to talk some baseball at 8:15. Be good to hear from Steve. But on the other side, what's trending? Is all the drama of the NFL offseason almost as good as the regular season? What about Tony getting arrested, man? Mm. Tariq said now he wants to hang around. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. What's trending in sports? NFL offseason drama. Does any sport have as much drama in the offseason as the NFL?
No. I mean, I used
Why
to think the NBA.
Why is that?
Maybe there's too much free time in the offseason. Who knows? I mean, we got these longer seasons. I don't know, man. We've heard so many different things about guys. I mean, you can go back to Plaxico Burr shooting himself at a nightclub, accidentally wearing sweatpants with a gun in his waistband. From hell, even here, Jacoby Jones and Sweet Pea. We've had All these different things happen, plus the domestic violence issues. Greg Hardy slamming his girlfriend on a bed of assault rifles. I mean, just so many awful things that have happened outside of the league.
How about Tariq Hill?
Look,
he had to satisfy his tall woman fetish when he reached out to touch breasts of plus-size-only model who claims he broke her leg.
Yeah, there was a, but she still stayed and had sex with him too, I think. Like after the whole situation.
Yeah. She did multiple times.
Yeah. So, like,
with a broken leg.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the crazy thing. Like, I don't know. He's only like 5'7, right?
Yeah. He's a tiny guy.
That's a tall, this girl is 6'1, 250. And she's very attractive, but at the same time,
6'1, 250.
A deuce and a half. This is for all my deuce, plus deuce. Side girls.
Deuce, deuce.
I'm talking the buck 75 and up club. Look at him. Tyreek Hill about the tall ladies. He said he wanted to climb that tree.
I'm about, tall ladies, all right, but.
I mean, look. I told you 250. This. 250. I think I could. I mean, I might not be able to lift you up on the bed with this bad back, but.
Hey, I ain't trying to wrestle.
I don't know. Some women can carry weight better than others.
But when you're doing that, you got to carry it.
What'd you say? Look like Beyonce laying down.
all this stuff is in a deposition, too.
So 250, you got heavy legs.
It's so funny.
That's what he said, too. He's like, oh, I got to get that.
All these lyrics are from that song that I played Rob that Mystical was on. Was,
she ain't fat. She's just a little juicy. You got heavy legs at 250, man. And then you got Kadarius Toney arrested for allegedly strangling a woman.
He's a jackass.
Why do all these NFL players, not all of them, but so many of them have incidents with women in the offseason to get them locked up?
Well, you know, I think a lot of stuff when you think about it, what did we always hear about the so-called, I'm using air quotes, chicken heads out there? The girls that are showing up to all the different hotels that the players come in every city, knowing where they're at, trying to be around them, trying to get knocked up. There are women that do that. But I also think there's a lot of stuff that's just readily available because they have money.
Yeah. But Jeremy.
Yeah.
NBA has more money. You don't see them getting into some of these incidents.
Not the domestic violence stuff. Yeah. You do see a lot of the womanized. Like Anthony Edwards right now is in trouble for... Or that might be in trouble for trying to force a girl to have an abortion.
Okay, that's wrong.
A lot of kids out of wedlock.
That's absolutely wrong. Yeah. However, that's not strangling a woman.
No. I mean, but we could sit here. There are incidents with the NBA, too. I don't want to give them a pass because, but there are way more with the NFL.
That's my point.
But there's
way
also
more.
53 men on each roster, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I kind of want to be fair about it, but you're right. The NFL, it's a bad look. They keep talking about protecting the shield. What are you protecting, actually? Because you don't punish these guys accordingly, and sometimes you punish the guys when they shouldn't be punished.
Yes. Sometimes like it's a sling-out punishment.
Yeah.
But Kadarius Toney does have crazy eyes.
He
has very crazy eyes.
He's very crazy.
I mean, that dude, I mean, Jeremy, come on, dude.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at, oh, yeah, he's.
Come on, Jeremy.
That does look like someone that just has something just a little bit off.
An ulterior motive.
Yeah.
To what? Everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, man. Kadarius Toney, too, is a prime example of wasted talent because when he first came in the league, everybody was talking about him. But then he was, here, just take him. All right, you take him. You take him. Nobody wanted him because he kept screwing up. He kept dropping passes in the game.
Now, you said the NFL has to do something to clean the shield up. I'm going to push back on that. I think the NFL, as much as they don't want to admit it, loves the attention.
Anytime
I know that sounds weird. I know it sounds weird.
Any type of publicity is good publicity.
But they can get rid of Kadarius Toney, but the attention stays.
Yeah, but is it too negative?
Is it?
I'm just saying for the league, like...
No.
There's something to be said about, again, being in the news, but do you want to be in the news for the wrong reasons?
Jeremy, we watch reality TV, not you and I, but people watch reality TV to see drama. If reality TV had no drama, nobody wants to watch it. It's the crap show and a train wreck that you want to watch. Well, that's the NFL's offseason. It's a reality TV show. It's one big train wreck.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, as much as screwed up as our society is, That's what sells. If the NFL had a bunch of altar boys and good guys in the offseason and doing great things, which they do, no one talks about that. The NFL has way more people doing good things than bad things, but no one talks about the good things. You know why? It's boring.
Yeah.
I mean, NFL wins on these stories as much as sad as that sounds, as sad as it is. They
just
win.
Just think about the week of Thanksgiving where there's so many NFL players that give out turkeys to families that need it. But if somebody gets arrested for a DWI or a hit and run during that period of time, that's front page.
That's the front page.
We're not going to talk about all the good things that go on.
Name the player that gives away turkeys. Name them.
I mean, they all do. I mean, you can sit here and talk about everybody on the Ravens.
You can't name them.
Not now.
You know why?
Because they don't.
Nobody talks about them. That's the problem. Nobody talks about. So I don't think the NFL is. Oh my gosh, what are you going to do about all these stories, man? Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Where are we playing next year? What country can we go to?
Exactly.
What planet are we playing on in 2027?
So I don't think the NFL wants to, quote unquote. I think the NFL wants to tell you. Okay, the NFL's image is like player safety. It's good that we talk about it.
They don't care.
But we don't really care.
All I want to say is that they don't really care about them. Yeah, that's what's going on.
That's what it is.
I mean, this whole thing. Look, if the NFL really cared about player safety, we wouldn't have Thursday night football. You wouldn't have guys playing a football game 3 days after they just played one. You know, you wouldn't have these short weeks. You wouldn't have all this crazy-ass travel going to other countries and trying to get even more money out of it, selling to all these networks. The almighty dollar, man.
This is a little saying that I made up, Jeremy. When all is said and done, there's more said than done.
Yep.
And that's what they're doing right now.
All they wanted to do was pay all that money out to get the concussion thing to go away, the CTE stuff. When that was happening, all these former players suing. It's like, oh, we got to do something. No, the only reason they wanted to do something is because they got caught. That's it.
Oh, like steroids in baseball.
It's a perfect example.
Don't want to do anything. Oh, we got caught? Oh, let's clean it up.
Yeah, you guys shouldn't be doing that. Come on.
I got it from you. I got them from you.
I learned it from watching you, Dad.
Steve Molesky joins us to talk some baseball at 8:15, but on the other side, we get stupid with Jeremy Kahn.
Yeah, we're going to talk about a couple of interesting things. Remember how we did a kayaker yesterday getting attacked by a great white, possibly, in the nightmare fuel that is? We got a different situation with a kayaker today. Let's see if you believe the story. We're also going to talk about New York City bodegas. They're selling something that I find absolutely hilarious with what's going on in society right now. So we'll talk about that. And the headliner today, a secret ingredient in cupcakes. That's all I'm saying. You may not want to hear this. You may want to hear it. It's coming up in the World of Stupid. All right, guys, I want to tell you, make sure you're listening because there'll be a time coming up soon when we're going to give away Metallica tickets and we're going to ask you to call in. You'll hear James Hetfield during the commercial ask you. So make sure you're paying attention to that. Now, let's start off with another kayaker. This story, more nightmare fuel if you want, but for a different reason. Now, this is alleged because some people think the video might have been doctored, but we've had a story like this before. A young kayaker was swallowed and then spat out by a humpback whale. Could you imagine being in a kayak and getting swallowed by a gigantic whale and then he throws him back up, allegedly? Choppy waters off of Punta Arenas in Chile. The huge whale seemed to gulp down the 24-year-old in his inflatable kayak after emerging from nowhere and opening up its enormous mouth.
Does this guy happen to... Is his name Jonah?
No. Critics,
I've heard this story before.
Critics slowed down the video and showed the kayak disappear entirely in one frame before reappearing and before the whale surfaced. So people do have questions about said video. They said it's a one in one trillion chance that this could happen, which is why they don't believe it would. But again, I think the numbers being 1 in 1 trillion, first off, you have to be in water. There's so much water.
He wasn't in Nineveh. He was...
Yeah. There's so much water that you'd have to be in the right spot at the right time. It's not like even getting struck by lightning, you'd have a much better chance of that happening than anything like this. But again, if you think it's real, whatever. But it's still a scary, scary situation. Let's go to the...
Wasn't in there for 3 days?
No.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Just making sure. This is now, copyright infringement, you know?
Now, Rob, you've heard of Lucy's, right?
Now, yeah, cigarettes.
Yeah, so people have had like loose cigarettes. They call them loosies. Sometimes you could purchase a single one or maybe even a couple of
loosies. My dad owned a corner store on Pennsylvania Avenue. Did we it? May have or may have sold a couple of them during the summer.
So New York bodegas are now selling loosey eggs. Eggs have become such a hot commodity. You can buy a bag with like three eggs in it now. It's like, is this for real? And this is from the New York Post. I showed you the pictures of it. It said, as the bird flu shortages send the prices of cartons skyrocketing, the Post has learned, Fernando Rodriguez, 62, he's the owner of Pamela's Green Deli in the Bronx, said many of his customers simply can't shell out $10.99 for a full carton of the beloved breakfast food. These people don't have enough money to buy a dozen eggs, so I have to sell them separately, said Rodriguez. When I saw how the price of eggs has become, we decided to break it down into small bags. But I got it, like, wouldn't it be cheaper to buy them in bulk than it would be as loosies?
Dude, we're the same thing with cigarettes?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I could see a guy buying one, like, hey, I just need one to get me through the day. You just need an egg to get you through the day?
Yeah, maybe you just need
two.
I just need, hey, the man needed one rib.
Hey,
you
man.
Can't need three eggs.
There was a picture that someone took at the Mexico-U.S. border of, like, they were trying to bring eggs into the United States, and there's just, like, ten, like a stack of 10 things of eggs.
It's crazy, man, like, to look at this, and he's holding up a bag of three eggs. Yeah, go buy some Lucy's from Rodriguez. Said he hatched the plan after seeing how huevos are hawked in his homeland. We used to sell single eggs in the Dominican Republic. I know how difficult it is for families to afford eggs and milk. So maybe it is. Maybe it's just a different lifestyle. But I think in the end, you'd end up spending more buying them individually or in like little groups of three.
The way I thought fiscally when growing up and not having two pennies to rub together, you think different fiscally when you actually have some money.
Yeah.
So
probably right. Yeah.
So if you have, let's say you only have $50 in your account, you may not want to put $11 on one dozen of eggs, but you're more inclined to put $3 on a couple of eggs.
Yeah.
It's just you think different fiscally when you don't have a lot of money.
I get it, man. It makes sense, but it's like when you're looking at it, you're going, can I just have one egg? Let me get three.
Yeah.
What be like, we all went to Iceland, me and my group of friends and my buddy Larry. We're all drunk in the middle of the night, and he gets up and just starts making breakfast. I mean, like a whole thing of bacon, a whole pack of bacon, breaking open these eggs, scrambling them up, making some sausage, all some toast. And we're all sitting there like, yeah, he put all that sumbitch on one plate and ate it himself. We're all looking at him like, you got to be kidding me. All these eggs.
So he put it all on one plate and said, what y'all gonna eat?
Yeah, that's exactly what he did. And we were all like, you know what it's like when you've had, look, you got a little bit of liquor in you and you're hungry. You start smelling something. You're like, man, that smells so good. He sat down and ate all of it right in front of us. Don't touch it. Smack your hand when you try to reach over and grab a sausage.
Did he have some biscuits too?
I don't know if he made any biscuits.
He made some biscuits. We've been fighting.
Well, speaking of making, let's talk
nothing
about.
Nothing like the Hungry Jack biscuits.
Yeah.
With the layers.
Mm-hmm. I know, flaky layers. Flaky layers.
Nothing like
buttery,
that, man.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about you, flaky layer. I'm talking about the.
Speaking of buttery, flaky layers,
man.
Let me talk about these cupcakes.
No, man.
This is disgusting, guys.
This is disgusting.
An ex-teacher accused of serving semen-laced cupcakes has been sentenced to 41 years in prison. This happened in Louisiana.
Time out. She got 41 years?
Yeah.
Damn.
Do you think she used the Dick and Hines recipe or Betty Crocker? Which one was she using? No?
The erection results are in.
It's disgusting, man. A disgraced.
I don't normally get caught off guard. I got caught off guard.
Anyway, on Monday, or this happened, Perkins accepted a plea. The plea deal was 41 years? Jesus. And pleaded guilty to second-degree rape, production of child pornography, and conspiracy of mingling harmful substances. It is so ridiculous nowadays with bringing anything to school that you have to, it has to be store-bought, that you can't even bake it at home for a lot of these things because of ingredients in it and kids having celiacs, kids being allergic, excuse me, to this or that.
How did they find out that it had semen in it?
I don't know. somebody must have, maybe another teacher saw it. Maybe the kids were like, what's it? Maybe she told somebody and then they tested it.
Maybe the dude.
I don't know.
I thought you made them for me.
I prefer a Bavarian cream. Jesus, she faced 72 charges of various sex crimes.
That's how many cupcakes she issued out?
Damn.
That dude shot, man.
She was also married to a former deputy. She filed for divorce in 2019. These three charges we thought was representative of what she had done, and by agreeing to the facts as we put them on record, she prepared herself to testify against Dennis Perkins. That was her ex-husband. The current lawsuit against Dennis Perkins in the Livingston Parish School System alleges that Cynthia Perkins videotaped Dennis supplying semen that was used to adulterate cupcakes that were later served to children.
So he knew it.
Yeah. He was the one that donated.
I'm sure you. So you don't know where it's going when you donate it.
I mean, maybe he did. They're saying he did because I think he's in trouble too. But what a disgusting story. Like I would be livid.
What makes you, hey, it's a good idea.
I mean, what makes somebody do that?
What happens to make you do that?
Like, I mean, we've pranked each other, and I told my friends this.
She's diabolical, too. Yeah. She videoed him.
Mm. But the other,
if I'm going down, you're going down, too. No pun intended.
Yeah, I get it. But what if it made the cupcakes, like, fluffier?
No.
Like, adding an extra egg makes them more?
No.
Okay. I'm just checking.
No, don't check.
All right. don't check. Do you like cupcakes?
Not now. Not right now. I don't want any cupcakes right now.
That's your world of stupid.
I don't want any of them. Y'all can have them cupcakes. Steve Molesky joins us at 8:15. Everybody else is sick on their stomach right now. On the other side, talk some baseball. You know, we were talking the other day about how Joel Embiid stole money.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball may have someone who stole more money than Embiid.
By the way, if you want to read the story, I did add it to my social media at JCon Sports on Twitter.
Nobody want to read that? Okay. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Hey, dirty.
7:47 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. That's your boy.
The old dirty bastard.
Old dirty bastard. I'm trying to figure out the beat. I'm like, is that?
Hey,
okay.
Dirty.
I know what it is now.
Baby, I got your money. Don't you worry.
Steve Molesky's going to join us at 8:15. What you got going on there?
I was going to say, in the first segment we talked, I watched the ODB documentary yesterday, and it was just total eye-opener for somebody you didn't know his background, if you didn't know it.
Yeah. He was
he'd move his hands when he was rapping and like moving his body, it was just crazy.
Now, Anthony Rendon.
Are we going to talk about this guy?
He's called Tony Two Bags. Back in D.C. when he's played for the Nats. He was outstanding. Anthony Rendon, isn't he the guy that went on record and said he don't even like baseball that much?
Yeah, he said he didn't like playing.
tell.
we saw, once you signed that big-ass contract, you didn't play.
Yeah. Since 2021, he played in, the most games he played in out of 162 is 58.
Was it you comparing like Rendon and Embiid? Were you talking about those two together in the same sentence? Because I kind of think it's pretty a fair assessment looking at two different sports of what's happened. I mean, he signs this huge deal with the Angels. And it's funny, pitchers and catchers report, and he was just like, no, they don't, because I ain't coming. he's injured again.
Yeah.
Just crazy, man.
Has he stolen more money than Embiid, in your opinion?
I mean, eventually he's going to. I think baseball players make more money over the long term over basketball players, just because, I mean, basketball players make ridiculous amounts per year. But when you look at Rendon, I mean, that the whole thing, that large ass contract being guaranteed, and he hasn't played. I mean, he's just not, like, even Embiid has played some. He took him to an Eastern Conference Finals, you know? But this is so ridiculous with this guy. And again, I said I wouldn't be one of those people that give one of these players a hard time because they can't stay healthy. But I don't know that I buy into this, you know, as much as he wants everybody to.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. What did you do to get hurt in the offseason? You haven't even done anything yet. You missed last year. Is it the same injury? I don't think it is. You've had months to get ready.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable, man. Yeah.
I mean, Rendon last year played 57 games, 238 plate appearances. This guy's unbelievable when he's on. But, you know, lately, since 2020, he's batted 240, 229, 236, 218. Now, you know, we are OPS guys. You guys know that. 712, 706, 678, 574. So that's not good either. Mm. That's not good either. Nothing is good. He's just not producing, not there. Has anybody ever stolen more money than Anthony Rendon right now? For those of you who are wondering about his contract, he signed a 7-year deal for $245 million. He's a free agent in 2026. So he has 2 more years on his contract.
Mm.
Okay, counting this year.
I want to see what Embiid's getting because, like, some of these max deals can get up there. He signed, well, yeah, he's 3-year, $192 million is what that was an extension mm-hmm. on what he already had mm-hmm. with an average annual salary of $64 million a year. Whew, that's a lot, man. I was not familiar with your game and how much you made. I mean, those contracts for the guys that can get the Supermax, and that's what we were talking about when Luka got traded. The mm-hmm. Mavs screwed him out of the Supermax.
Right.
Which basically said you're going to make $115 million less on your next contract, even if you get the most amount of money you can get. So that's another reason why he's pissed off at him and why I think it's shady what they did.
Can I say this?
Mm-hmm.
If for the Lakers fans, like myself, who are holding their breath wondering whether or not he'll re-sign with the Lakers, you know why he's going to sign with the Lakers? Because there aren't many markets that he can make that money back
yep.
up.
Yep.
The money that he makes off the court, he'll make that money. He wouldn't be able to make that money in Dallas.
You want to talk about good things, and I don't know if people saw this. I retweeted it. When he got to L.A., he immediately donated $500,000 to the fire, you know, yeah. to the funds out yeah. there, saying how much has affected him. He loved Kobe more than just as much as some of the other guys in the league and looked up to him and you know, loved Gigi. He even changed his Twitter picture to those two. So,
yeah.
You know, like.
He won.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Hit me out.
You're about to find out.
He got to L.A., I don't know whether he has advisors in his corner or he knows it himself or a combination of the two, but he did everything right when he got to L.A.
Yep.
He told how much he was pissed off at Dallas, but all that pissed off stuff was over with after the press conference.
Yep.
He realized, listen, man, these folks in L.A. don't care about that.
They care about now.
They care about now. Now I'm a Laker. I don't want to get too far off Anthony Rendon, but I love the way he handled himself when he got to L.A.
Yeah, the only shame of it is that the Mark Williams trade got rescinded. Charlotte is yelling. They're crying foul, saying he was healthy when they sent him over there. They don't understand why they failed him.
He tripped.
But you can't tell me that the Lakers wouldn't have wanted. They had to find something.
Yeah, come on, dude.
They did say that LeBron was a little pissed off that Luka asked for a center and they went out and got one. When he'd been asking for one, they didn't get him one. But come on, man.
Because I'm sure LeBron was very specific in what he wanted.
Yeah.
And Luka was like,
just give me someone that I can lob the ball to.
Yeah.
You saw, like, in his first game with Jackson Hayes, Jackson Hayes got so many easy buckets because Luka's there.
He's throwing it up.
And some people may not want the great white hype on their team. I'm telling you, this guy is for real, man. You're going to have so much fun watching him if you're a Lakers fan that he's on your team now instead of hating him. Oh, he's crying at the refs. You're going to start defending him about crying at the refs.
I'm back.
Yeah.
I told you, I'm back. I had to get AD and LeBron split up. I had to get that split up.
I want him to bust Dallas's ass and just stare down the owner while he's sitting courtside. That's what I want.
I want him to shoot free throws while he's looking at him.
Yep.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. But speaking of people who steal money, the guy he got traded for steals a little bit of money as well.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis.
I mean, sad state of affairs. As soon as he goes there, he has one of the best first halves you could possibly have in an opener for your new team. And then in the second half, he does what? What he always does. Goes to the locker room.
He says, I'm here.
Yeah.
I was. Now I'm there.
Yeah.
Listen, let's not forget Mr. Rendon's teammate. Mike Trout steals some money, too.
Yeah.
Mike Trout steals some money. Since 2021, Mike Trout has played in 36 games, then 119, then 82, then 29.
Why do you think he breaks down so much? Do you think it's... I mean, everybody, anytime we have a player that's often injured in baseball, steroids get brought up and how uh-huh. the body, and he is a big, strong guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hell, I was just watching Tyler O'Neill take batting practice, and he's got some gigantic vein that goes down the back. I mean, it's just ridiculous how big that dude is.
Okay, so we want to say the steroids is a possibility for Mike Trout.
Mm-hmm.
rightfully so. So why is it that whenever we bring that up for King Griffey Jr.'s career, no one wants to talk about it?
Because he's natural.
No one wants to talk about it. Griffey's numbers went up during the steroid era, and he went out injured every year.
He ain't do that.
Okay.
I like him. He ain't do that.
He's different.
Mm-hmm. I like him.
He's different.
Come on, Rob. You know he
You're right about Mike Trout. I mean, I can't say you're right. I'm suspicious of that with Mike Trout as well. But why is it there's never suspicion over Ken Griffey with this? All the signs are there.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's another thing, too, to Mike Trout's one of those guys that I don't give a hard time to just because I think he loves the game. And I don't think he's one of those guys that wants to be out.
Still steal the money.
You're correct. I mean, you're going to play half of the contract and you're never going to be there for the playoffs. It's just a damn shame we don't get to see this guy in playoff games.
He's 33 years old now.
Yep.
Stealing money, man. You stole money.
Remember when we thought, like, is Mike Trout going to break all these records? Is he going to break? He was the one guy we had circled initially. And now you're probably going to look at Juan Soto.
You're just hoping Mike Trout doesn't break something.
Yeah. I mean, Juan Soto might be one of those guys if he plays for a long time because he started early, even before 21.
And because he posts, he stays healthy.
And because he's really effing good early, too. He's only going to get better, except in the field.
We'll keep he's a gold glove finalist,
man.
Oh,
my bad, man. I don't mean to.
We'll keep talking baseball at 8:15 with Steve Molesky. And on the other side, the Birds' biggest question mark, what is it headed into spring training? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.